And I don't want you, and I don't think you would, to just shut down on me now. Because this is a germane topic, you've thought about it a lot, you've considered it a lot. And so you think, well, you know, I've already thought about that, I already know that, and I don't need to listen, but I'm going to tell you, you need to listen. The scripture reading was short and to the point. If one does not love the Lord, he is accursed. In other words, you're damned to hell. What does that mean, to love the Lord? Perhaps we'll talk about it just a little bit differently than you've thought about it before. Of course, when we talk about loving the Lord, we need to look at Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Although this really isn't where I'm going so much with the lesson, I need to start here. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And where I'm going this morning is to that part on the heart, not on the mind, the strength, the soul. And so I want you to think about that and remember that, because as we progress through the lesson, we're going to talk about that some more. To love the Lord with all of your heart, with all your emotional, your affections, all of that part of your being. And I'll tell you why this is important. Brethren don't like to talk about this a whole lot. We like to talk about the other parts a lot. We like to talk about the unemotional parts. We don't like to talk about feelings because we're afraid people are going to get the wrong idea, perhaps, that it's a heartfelt religion, an emotional religion. Well, it is. It is. In addition to all the other parts. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 3. Passage that we are all very familiar with. And we're going to talk about God's love here. As we already noticed in Mark chapter 12, that we must love God with our everything, heart, soul, mind, strength, everything, all of our being. God's love was this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." As you turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4, let me ask you this: do you love God as much as he loves you? Do you love God as much as he loves you? God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And you remember from all your Bible studies, everything included with that. You remember, as Gary read this morning from Isaiah chapter 53, the things included with that. And God, knowing all of that, God sent Jesus Christ to die for you because he loves you. Now, do you love God as much? So that's a serious question. And I think about that for myself. And I want to think that I love God that much. But there's a part of me that's not sure. How about you? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." Do you love God as much as he loves you? Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, because this does get to more to the point of what I want to talk about. The first verses we looked at this morning were talking about the agape love. That is the love which is a commitment. It has nothing to do with emotion. But now I want to talk about that emotional part of love, that affectionate part of love. And that's what I really want us to focus on. Because when the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, tells us that if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are accursed. He's talking about that emotional, affectionate love. I was misinformed at one point in life. Someone told me that God never commanded us to have emotion for Him. And I found this verse. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. Although it's not a command, it's stating a fact. If you don't have it, you're lost. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, we're going to notice that God has created us to be emotional people, to be affectionate people. And let's notice that we are going to have affections for someone or something. And the conclusion is going to be, it better be for God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, speaking of those who are false teachers, living in sin, those individuals, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This love here is this emotional, affectionate feeling that those who are living in sin do not have it for God, but for sinful things. Our affections better be toward God, or they're going to be toward sin. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 11. I want us all to notice that Jesus had this type of love. Here we read about the death of Lazarus. And of course, Jesus tells us these things happen for a reason. So that there would be opportunity for him to do this miracle and show the power of God. Now, Jesus knew this all the time. And he knew that this was only temporary, that Lazarus was going to rise from the dead, and that a great miracle was going to be done. But I want you to notice in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. He knew he was going to raise from the dead. He knew that everything was going to be okay. He knew that this was just something God brought about. He had even delayed coming, dragging his feet to get there because he knew this was part of God's plan, but he was moved in his spirits because a friend died. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Jesus was an emotional person. Are we emotional people? Yes. Where do we direct our emotions? Is it toward God or somewhere else? Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 10. This is another passage that I discovered after being told God never commands us to have feelings for Him. Well, this is what Jesus says about that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves, we're talking about this emotional, affectionate, feeling, love. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. What is Jesus saying? Your emotion and your affections better be more for me than for your family. Let's understand this. And are they? Those of you who are married, Do you have stronger feelings for Jesus Christ than your spouse? Do you love Jesus? That is a true test. Those of you who have children, do you love Jesus? Do you love the Lord more than your children? That's a good test, is it not? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Children, do you love the Lord more than you love your parents? That's what Jesus requires. Are your feelings, are your emotions, are your affections greater for the Lord than for your parents? That's what Jesus requires. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. I suppose everybody here loves themselves. Jesus says, you must love me more than yourself. Do you love the Lord? Take your thoughts before the lesson started. And now take your thoughts and challenge yourself. Do you really love God? How do we do this? Brethren in many places are afraid even to talk about this subject. Afraid it's going to be misconstrued as a feel-good religion. I'm sorry if somebody misconstrues it. I can't help that. We need to know and understand the truth so we can obey the truth. How do we do this? Well, remember in Mark chapter 12, let's just go back there for a moment. I want us to understand Mark chapter 12. Now, Mark is using the word for love is agape here. Now I want us to notice what Jesus is saying. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And you shall love, that is agape, that is that commitment love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. What he is saying here, you must, having gone to the Word of God, with understanding of that, make a willful commitment to God to give him all of your emotion and your affections. That's what he's saying. First of all, we must make a commitment based on the Word of God. And then we direct our emotions and our feelings toward God based on this foundation of our commitment from the Word of God. Now that's how it works. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 21, and I'm going to bring up another passage that is greatly debated as to the exact meaning of things here. And John chapter 21, verse 15, this is when Jesus comes to Peter after he had resurrected, and Peter had denied him three times, and Jesus questions his commitment of love three times. And you've studied this before, many of you. You remember that the first two questions asked by Jesus, he uses the word agape. The third question, he uses the word phileo. Agape, as we've talked today, is the commitment without emotion. It's a mental commitment. And the other, phileo, is the affection that you have for sons, daughters, parents, those types of things. Peter, all three times when he answers, he says the word phileo. Jesus says, do you have agape for me? Jesus says, I have phileo for you. Jesus says, do you have agape for me? Peter says, I have phileo for you. Jesus says, do you have phileo for me? He says, Lord, you know that I have phileo for you. You know I love you. Some brethren believe is in the discussion here that agape, the mental commitment, is the supreme type of love, and that phileo is a lesser form. That agape is way up here and phileo is way down here. That explanation's never made any sense to me, because I don't think Peter's that stupid. Jesus is asking, do you have agape for me? And if you believe this agape is his supreme form, and Peter's asking, Lord, no, I don't have that. I mean, I just have some little old me, just some little old love for you. Nothing great like agape. Peter's not that stupid. He's not going to say that. Doesn't make any sense to me. And he sure is not going to be grieved about it as he comes to the third time. Jesus, I don't think, is going to ask, do you have supreme love for me? Peter says, no, I really don't. Jesus says, well, don't you have supreme love for me? Peter says, well, no, I really don't. Jesus finally breaks down and says, well, you just have a little love for me. And Peter says, Lord, you know, I really, just a little love, not much love. Now, that explanation never made any sense to me. That was not my understanding of the passage. And I finally, after studying this a great deal, came upon others who didn't think that was the explanation either. Why is that? When we have true love, phileo, the emotional love for Jesus Christ, built upon agape, which is more supreme? Having the commitment with the feelings on top of it. That is the supreme commitment, because it includes everything. And I think that's what Peter's talking about. And I think that perfectly illustrates what I'm talking about today. That we first, Mark 12:30, make this commitment in our lives to give the Lord our heart. Jesus uses Mark 12:30, agape. Make the commitment to give the Lord your heart. That is supreme. And I think that's what Peter's saying. Jesus saying, Peter, do you have agape, this commitment for me? And Peter saying, man, I got more than that. I got that plus the emotion to go with it. Jesus asked him a second time, Peter, do you have this agape more? Lord, you know that I've got more than that. I've got the emotion to go with it. Jesus finally gives in and says, are you sure you got this phileo for me? And Peter was grieved the third time Jesus is asking. He said, Lord, you know I'm totally committed, just not with my mind, but with my heart. And that illustrates perfectly what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, we must love the Lord Jesus Christ or we are accursed. Brethren, if we have not got the emotion into our religion, let me illustrate. Isaiah 53, Gary Steen, I wish you would have just stayed up here and talked about that for a half an hour. Just forget the sermon today. If you were sitting in your pew and that did not elicit some sort of feeling for you, that you weren't thinking about this, of a God who sent his only son down here to do that for you and to experience those things for you so that you could be saved, if you sat there and you didn't feel anything, something's wrong. You need to call 911 or the spiritual hospital or something. Maybe you're too young to understand, and that's perfectly understandable. But if you're an adult here with all your faculties and you sat there and you didn't feel anything, then you're either not paying attention or just hard-hearted. I don't know what it is. We must love the Lord more than family. I'll tell you what, let's talk about some examples. Love the Lord more than anyone else. Sometimes a young people ask Beth and I, how do you know that this person is really the person I want to marry, I want to spend the rest of my life with? How do you know when you find the one? And here are some things. If you really love someone, you long to be with them all the time. All the time. We've got this thing, Pam starting to look at colleges. We're going around looking at places, and Andrea's looking at places. She gets all sorts of mail and all this stuff like this. And now I'm going to tell something here. I suppose they probably all know, but I've never confessed it until right now. One of the reasons that I have a rule that you can't leave Tampa is because I want to be with them. I don't want them off somewhere else. Because I love my daughters. I don't want them somewhere else. If we love someone, we want to be with them. We long to be with them. Do you long to be with the Lord? Does that just eat at your soul every day that you can't be with the Lord in heaven? When my family's gone, I think about them constantly because I'm not with them. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll see what the Apostle Paul says. Beginning in verse 2, "For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked." Do you long for that day to be with the Lord? Do you groan? Is there a part of you that's groaning? You want to move on. You want to get on with it. You want to be with the Lord. Verse 8. "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Is that what you want? Do you want to be absent from the body? Do you want to leave this place? Do you want to go to heaven? If the Lord came to you right now and gave you an option, you can stay here for a while longer, or you can go to heaven right now, which would you take? Which would you take? "No, Lord, I sort of like it down here. I think I'll stay a while." Then you got a problem. Then you got a problem. And I can say that because I've really been thinking about this stuff. You got a problem. Sometimes I sort of think I might have a problem. Because I might choose the option, "No, Lord, if you're telling me I can stay here a while and go to heaven a little later, I think I'll stay." I sort of like it. How do you know you love someone? You like to talk to them a lot. You like to talk to them a lot. Sometimes the girls will be eating breakfast or something. I just go sit by them. I'm not eating. I just want to talk to them a little bit. I like calling my parents. And I just call them and say, "Hey, what's happening? What are you up to? What's going on?" I like to hear the voice. I like to talk to them. Remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, pray without ceasing, pray all the time. We can take our prayer life and we can analyze whether or not we really love the Lord as to how much we like to talk with Him. Take your prayer life and you look at that. Do you really like talking to the Lord that much? If not so much, do you really love the Lord? God's Word is a lamp to my feet. You know, when I call my parents, I like to hear somebody talking back. I like to hear Dad talking. I like to hear Mom talking. And really love the Lord, I really want to hear what He's got to say. Do we really love the Lord? We think about people a lot when we are not with them. My grandmother died a little bit later in my life. And sometimes, you know, I want to just pick up the phone and say, "Hey, what's happening, Grandma?" It's called to think about her. Beth and the girls, they used to go off to Indiana, you know, during the summer. And still, I guess, sometimes do. And, you know, when they first started going, Sometimes I would think I would hear them talking in the house. No, I wasn't crazy. Sometimes I think I'd see them walk around the corners and a corner of my eye and say, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be here. I missed them. I wanted to see them. I wanted to be with them. David, Psalm 63, 6, I meditate on you in the night watches. Do we sit around or walk around or just thinking about the Lord? Do we think about God? We're just meditating? Can't sleep? Hey, good time to think about God. If you're not going to sleep anyway. We partook of the Lord's Supper today. Were we eager? Did we want to do that? Were we paying attention during the thoughts from Isaiah chapter 53 or just blowing it off? You know, I already read that. I know what that says. Or were we saying, man, I like thinking about God. I like thinking about the Lord. You know, I just wish I could just do nothing but sit around all day and think about the Lord. How often do we think about God? How often do we think about Jesus? How often do we think about what they've done for us and what they're doing for us right now? Do we think about God and Jesus as much as we think about our spouse? Or our parents or our children? Does God have equal or more of our time thinking about Him? Or less. You like to talk about people you love. Parents and grandparents, they're awful good. It wasn't good about, you know, showing, I got all these pictures in here. Well, I don't carry any pictures. I'll show you somebody. I got all these pictures here. Let me show you this. Let me show you. Hey, I'll email one to you. We're good about that, aren't we? We like to talk about people we love. We like to talk about our children. We like to talk about our grandchildren. And kids are interesting. I love to listen to kids maybe being in a different room. How many times they'll say, my dad, blah, 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 blah. My mom, blah, 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 blah. Listen to you, Eric, yesterday. That's great. You talk about your parents. You love your parents. But do we talk about God? Do we love God? Do we have this, I don't want to really use the word infatuation, just always on our mind, always thinking about Him, we always want to talk about Him? Or do we always want to talk about other things? Cool car. What team beat what team? Or is it about God? We talk about people that we love. Do we love the Lord? We want to please people we love. We want to make them happy. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 1. What do you think? Do you love God? Do you love God as much as you ought to love God? Do you need to work on that? Paul says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We want to please people we love. We want to make them happy. We live to make them happy. We want to give our children a better life than we had. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Another verse that we know very well, we talk about quite often. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And we like to give them gifts and we like to give them presents, don't we? We like to make them happy. Are we anxious to give God the only gift we can give Him, and that is our life? There's a song that we sing, Live for Jesus. Or are we living for Jesus? We never want to hurt them. You remember in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, a man who truly loves his wife would never do anything to hurt her. Loves her at least as much as his own flesh. And what about the Lord? To love the Lord, we never want to hurt the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? When we sin, and in particularly, verse 26, willfully. And everybody here that's old enough to know what I'm talking about has done that very thing. We hurt the Lord very, very much. If you love someone, you don't want to hurt them. You'll go out of your way. You'll go a million miles never to hurt them. Yes, we sometimes make mistakes and we hurt those we love upon occasion, but we sure don't want to and we don't intend to and we work hard to make it up. Do you love God? And you'll die for the people you love. I suppose every parent and every grandparent here would, without even thinking about it, give their life for one of their children. Not even think about it. John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he may lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves me, and Jesus died on the cross. In verse 14, you are my friends, and the word friends comes from the word love, as we're talking about. You are my friends if you do what I command you. What Jesus wants us to do is lay down our life for him, because we love him. And if you're a Christian today, of course, in one respect, you have laid down your life and you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But has it gone far beyond that? Do you love God? Have you given your heart to God? Do you long to be with God? Do you think about him all the time? Do you talk about him? Do you want to make him happy and please him and do good things for him? Do you do your very best never, never to hurt him? And are you laying down your life for Jesus Christ every day? Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you're sitting there and you say, man, I'm right on the ball with all of this stuff right here. And that's great. But I'll confess to you right now, I need to do a better job. I need to do better. Maybe you do too. We're going to offer this gospel invitation number 300. If you're not a Christian, you can lay down your life for the first time for Jesus Christ, who already died for you. You can do that. You can begin this new day loving the Lord as you never have before and increasing that every day. But maybe you started out doing that and something got in the way. And you need to start all over. The Lord knows that we make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes we just totally go off the beaten path and we have to get back on. Well, you can do that today. And you can renew your love for the Lord as you come back to him, repenting of your sins and correcting those things in your life. I am coming, Lord. If we can help you at all. this morning. Won't you come to the Lord? Step down the aisle and we'll help you.